Citizens reporting. Random act of temporary. Sanchez, what are you? Back off, Sanchez. I'm warning you, back off.
Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence and his squad. This is their story.
Lieutenant Harry Lucky Lawrence jerked to consciousness with a start as his comlink blinked insistently in his ear. Sitting up with a quiet groan and scrubbing a hand over his stubbled face, he opened up the comm to see the sharp-featured face of Major Philip Symes. Heart sinking, Lucky forced a tired salute and croaked, "Yes, sir." "You look like a twice-eaten charon steak, Lucky," came the gravelly reply from Symes.
"I figured, sir. What can I do for you?"
Symes grimaced before replying. "We need you back in Sector 620, Lieutenant. Something strange is going on, and I need eyes in the area." Struggling to suppress yet another groan, and not quite succeeding, Lucky bit back a curse. Dragging his hand across his face again, he grated,
"Sir, surely there are other teams in the area. In better shape too."
"No," Symes cut in. "No, there aren't, Lucky. I know your squad has been through it, and you are under strength."
"Under strength?" Lucky growled. "That's a bit of an understatement, sir. Half my team bit it when the plague is broke through, but days ago. I've got more rookies than Marines. The new servos for the Strider crapped out hours after being fitted, and it's totally out of commission. Not one of my guys isn't bashed up in some way."
Sam sat quietly as the lieutenant's tirade gradually petered out, though his brows drew together. "I fully understand the status of your unit, Lieutenant Lawrence, but the simple fact is that you are the least decimated strike team in your area, and you are needed. So pull yourself together and suck it up, soldier."
"Sir, yes, sir," growled Lucky through gritted teeth.
"Now, this is what we know. It's not a lot, but that's why we need you in there. Reports are that citizens in the sector are experiencing strange hallucinations, visions of baby-like creatures floating in the air. Those that see the visions then seem to suffer a temporary madness and become filled with, for want of a better word, unrestrained lust. Our concern is that those bloody mad scientists at Maison Labs have been cooking up some sort of new mind-altering drug, possibly as a aerosol form. Your orders, Lieutenant, are to lock down the sector, find the source of the issue, and, if possible, shut it down." Heaving a sigh, Lucky nodded.
"Understood, Major. Guess it's my lucky day again."
With a final salute, the Lieutenant ended the comm and set about rousing his battered squad to charge back into the madness of the dead zone once again.
I'm your host, Walt, and in today's episode, we'll be following Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence and his squad into Sector 620. And for this, I'm joined by Peter. Good morning, Peter, or should I say good evening, Peter. How are you?
Good evening, Walt. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here. I am itching to find out how lucky Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence really is. What games are you enjoying at the moment, Peter?
I'm a bit of a kid in a sweet shop, general Mantic fanboy, probably why I like the pod, but I've got my fingers in all the pies, so I'm currently working on my Northern Alliance for Kings of War, hoping to get them ready for Clash of Kings. It's in the very early stages of being built that I'm on target.
What's the latest thing that you've signed up to?
Yeah, I've bought into the Warpath quite heavily, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm on the playtesting group, so I'm going to be getting a few test games in as soon as I can. I've actually had a game of Firefight today, which is a bit of a rare occasion, but managed to get a friend at the local gaming shop in, and we had a small game of Firefight, so that was fun. Got a Dead Zone tournament lined up in May. It's all going on, every game.
What attracts you to the narrative side of things?
I just like putting stories to things. I've always wanted and had the ambition to write stories, but not the commitment or the skill. And playing a game just helps make a narrative for me, and then I can put a story to it in my head. You know, it gives me a little bit of a framework where I don't always have that inspiration. But it also makes the game more enjoyable in terms of I can, you know, charge a unit into another unit and expect it to totally wipe that unit out and roll all ones. And then that makes like a funny narrative moment at that point. Or I can put a rookie up against a brood mother and the rookie will just absolutely slaughter this monstrous rat completely out of the blue. Makes it a bit more memorable.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to the converted here, Peter, because everything you've just said is what turns my lights on as well. So for some people who are listening to MupLore right now, they're probably going, hang on, we haven't heard this stuff before. And dear listener, the reason you haven't heard it is, and you may not have heard the episode just before this one that was released, is that MupLore is very new. Congratulations, Peter. You're number one. No pressure.
I'm now officially shaking in my boot.
I'm sure you're not. Okay. Today we're going to talk about a game set in Dead Zone. So do you want to tell us about this forgotten part of the universe for those people that are not familiar with Dead Zone?
So, yeah. So the Warpath universe is very much, in my head at least, a very cyberpunk sort of setting. You've got this galaxy that has been colonized by humans over the passage of thousands of years. They've come into contact with other alien races in that time. Dead Zone planets are planets where there's been an outbreak of the plague, which is anathema to life sort of thing. These planets get locked down and basically left to die. Nobody's allowed to go. The quarantined planets, basically. But obviously the people on those planets still have this instinct to survive, and other races might come in to try and salvage some resources before the planet is completely locked down, that sort of thing. So in this situation, I've called the area that they're in Sector 620 on a as yet unnamed planet.
Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence is part of a GCPS unit, I believe. Have they been dropped in, or were they already there before a Dead Zone was announced?
So I think they are. The corporation probably had a presence on the planet, and they are the local militia. The idea of the squad is that they've been decimated. They're a mangled sort of squad full of recruits and bits and pieces of other squads, and they're getting thrown back into the fray when they're not ready.
They've been bashed around a bit. Well, put on your webbing, grab your weapon, swallow that gum, soldier. Let's move out. What's the playing background to this engagement? Apparently, you played a tournament.
That's right, yeah. So the local gaming shop near me has a very active Pathfinder, a guy called Craig. He's been running Dead Zone tournaments for the last few years at the shop. He tends to theme them around the sort of time of the year. So there's usually a Halloween-themed one that has its own special rules, and then this one in particular was a Valentine's Day themed one.
Before we jump into that, Peter, let's find a little bit out about Lieutenant Lucky and his squad. Wouldn't mind finding out a bit more about Major Symes as well. Have you got any history, quirks, motives, strengths, weaknesses that you want to share?
I reckon Lucky is probably one of these hard-bitten long-term low-level officers that's not really advanced very much, or whenever he advances he seems to get busted back down because he doesn't have the greatest disciplinary sort of record. Symes in my head is kind of like an Alec Guinness sort of character, sort of stiff British upper lip, sort of very straight-laced officer, but empathic. He's got a good working relationship with Lucky.
So what happened here? Something dramatic's happened, because we've just heard what sounded like radio static and a bit of panic and some really weird noises. What's going on, Peter?
Well, that's what they need to find out. They've had these reports of strange occurrences and these cherub-like creatures appearing and people going insane shortly after and getting these weird tendencies. And as far as Symes is concerned, it's that damn Maison Labs fretting around with, you know, some sort of psychological warfare or drugs. Or.
So what does the squad or Lieutenant Lucky think about this? What do they think is happening?
They have just come off the back of a fight with the plague. They are battered, bruised. They've had half the squad replaced with recruits. They were on, for want of a better term, shore leave or downtime. And then suddenly they're getting thrown back into the fray. I imagine they're not too happy, to be fair. So they venture into Intersector 620. The natural target is to go to the security hub at the center of the sector. As they're progressing in, it's very misty, foggy, sort of a very, you've got your neon lights sort of casting the glare through the fog and vision's not great. The sniper is probably still drunk. he was on his downtime and he was taking advantage of the moonshine. Old Coop likes his drink. He's the first to spot the athletic form of a ravening Qureshi woman charging towards him. Takes a pop shot and misses wildly. In fact, can't hit a barn door at the moment. And the Qureshi come screaming towards them. The squad engage. In the background, a spectre rises up in the distance and a Mysterian spectre. And combat ensues.
Well, you've totally surprised me. This is not what I was expecting, Peter. Are you saying that they've run into a bunch of Asterians? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, yeah. They're in a normal sector of a dead planet, expecting no other alien forces there, and Qureshi have pounced on them.
So there is something that the Asterians are interested in as well. Well, you don't have to reveal it right now, but this will be interesting. I'm going to keep an open mind here.
The young, inexperienced squad missing their heavy munitions are soundly beaten by the Qureshi and scatter to the four winds. Lucky does his best to get contact with the squad and pull them back together. And as they are regrouping, they come into contact with some more as yet unknown foes. The squad is scattered. And that was game two. It was scatter was the scenario. They come under fire. They don't know who's firing at them yet. And Coop is blatantly still drunk because he can't hit a barn door still. but they do get their first glimpse of slightly odd behavior as it becomes clear that they're actually embroiled with their sort of big brothers in the forces, as it were, the enforcers. One of the enforcers charges down, looking like he's going to get into combat with one of the lucky squad, and actually pounces on his own squad mate and attempts to give him a bear hug. He is roundly slapped and soon comes out of it. But it's the first sort of sign of any weird behavior going on. Realizing that they're in combat with their own forces and it's just the fog of war at play, Bucky calls the retreat and the party regroup to another sector.
So it's really interesting here because the enforcers are there as well. We've got the Asterians, so something really big's at play. And Lucky must be really thinking, what the hell is going on here? And he's got his scattered forces. And the behavior of the enforcer with the other enforcer is probably not according to SOPs.
feeling that the heat is much higher than he expected, much higher than Symes probably expected when he sent him in, he decides that his squad is ill-equipped to face what's going on in this sector, and he's going to try and pull back. As they are attempting to do that, a plume of smoke blossoms across the top of the city, and an orc with a jetpack on it, a marauder with a jetpack on it, comes screaming across the roofs of the buildings. Coop, now sober, takes this marauder down. And as it comes crashing to the top of one of the buildings, howls and shouts from the rest of them arise, and they come under attack. But without the element of surprise, the GCPS managed to soundly beat the marauders and send them packing. And Lucky decides, that's it. We've had three different interested parties now. The heat is way too hot. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, wise decision. But obviously the marauders coming in on jetpacks, coming in hot, that'll tend to sober you up a little bit. So I'm glad to hear that they finally got their aim straight and won that particular encounter. But they're bruised.
Nearly forgot, in this particular encounter with the marauders, this is the first time that Lucky's squad actually experiences some of this strange madness that's going around. As one of the rookies, Rookie Renton, throws himself from the second floor of a building to attempt to embrace one of the other rookies, and comes tumbling down, crashing to the floor. Suffers a wound, but fortunately survives, and it shocks him out of it. But he's blathering about seeing this winged baby angel firing an arrow towards him, and then he doesn't remember anything afterwards.
Wow. Okay. This is powerful stuff. I hope it's not being sold on the open market. That's all I can say. So, okay. So they're falling back. They're regrouping. So, they've just got stuck in with the marauders. Somebody's jumped off a building and woken up. What's next?
So they decide that's it. Definitely out of here. They make their way back to the outer sector of 620. As they're about to egress the area, they come into contact with more enforcers. These enforcers see Lucky's actions of dereliction of duty and attempt to arrest Lucky's squad. Quite shell-shocked and battered and just on the point of panic, Lucky squad aren't happy to be arrested, and combat ensues. Both sides acquit themselves well. It's obvious that they are quite equally drawn, and eventually Lucky, in order to preserve the lives of his team, surrenders, and they are arrested and taken for court-martial.
After all they've gone through, Peter, after all the bashing and I'm starting to wonder whether Major Symes will actually turn up at the court-martial and put a good word in for them, but I'm not so sure about that. So, okay. Was that the last game in the tournament?
Yeah, that was the last game. There were four games in total. So they'd taken a couple of round beatings and then managed to fight off the marauders, and then the final conflict ended up being very evenly matched in a draw, essentially.
Yeah. Was it a great tournament? Did you enjoy it?
It was good, yeah. They're always good tournaments, always have a good time. Slightly smaller field than normal. Usually you have 14 to 16 players. There were just 8 players this time. But that was nice. It was more intimate. And it allowed me to play up my narrative even more than I normally would, to be fair.
Yeah. Well, it's a great storyline. And this thing about the court-martial, I mean, who knows how that's going to end. But I believe we do have a clip a little bit later on that might give us a bit of a hint what happens next. But I won't let the cat out of the bag just yet. So let's just talk about the game itself, the setting. Dead Zone, I find Dead Zone terrain to be, very good. It's nice and tight and painted. If it's painted, it's even more evocative. What was the terrain like at the tournament?
Yeah, it was really good. We used a mix of sort of the official Dead Zone terrain, but we've also got a local guy Dan, who prints quite a lot of stuff. He's into his 3D printing. He's got a filament printer, and he printed a lot of the terrain and provided a lot for the tournament. So it was very varied. Lots of different tables, lots of different colours. To me, the Warpath universe has a lot of sort of pulp to it. It's very... if I was going to pick a few films out of my head for the aesthetics, I'd be looking at sort of Starship Troopers, and The Fifth Element, and mixed in with a little bit more darker stuff, I guess, like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
But it's all very cyberpunk, lots of neon lights, lots of... it's not grimdark. It's definitely not grimdark.
No, it's not. And I love the terrain making in it. I really do. And it gives you so much flexibility. I can just imagine an FDM printer for all the Dead Zone players that are possibly listening. There's so much you could do, right?
What's your oyster? Yeah. And the game thrives the more scenery you've got.
Yeah.
You've got to have delicate fingers and maneuvering sometimes, but the more levels you have and the more built up it is, it actually improves the game.
So did you paint Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence's squad? Is it painted in a certain way, or do you want to just share with us what they look like? What do their uniforms look
so
like?
So they have the fabric bits are all black, black sort of combats, as it were, and then the hard ceramic armor or whatever it is like a quite a bright blue. I've gone for quite a bright color scheme. I try to avoid going the same as box art. I try to do my own sort of flavor on things. And I mean, Starship Troopers is more of a gray than a blue, but it was kind of inspired by that.
And what sort of weapons are they carrying?
Half the squad was rookies. I have a Strider that I usually use. I took that out specifically for this campaign because I wanted to have the depleted squad that was filled with lots of new, fresh out of the school sort of troops. So they're mainly just standard troopers with laser rifles. A couple of rangers in there as well. Because
you know, Peter, sorry to interrupt. That is so narrative. You know what? I could take top of the line miniatures, totally kit it out, etc. But in your particular case, you went, you know, I'm taking rookies with me. I'm not taking the best weaponry either. I find, and I'd be interested in your perspective, I find that that makes the game a little bit more challenging, but it also makes it much more interesting. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I've played this GCPS Force for a couple of years now. I've been to a few tournaments. I've tried, you know, I've gone with the elite side. I've gone with taking all the best models. And to me, I'm not bothered about finishing in the top half of the table or in the top three or anything like that. I just want to have a good story. Yeah. But this time I was like, well, I've played the same squad for a while. How can I change it up to make it interesting? I thought, well, let's go with just basic cheap troopers, you know, quite a few of them, and see how the story plays out and just have this narrative in my head of they are a battered squad that's got a lot of inexperienced stuff in there, not strong weapons, etc. It wouldn't serve me in the competitive side, but knowing that I would have interesting games as well.
How long ago did you play this?
This was in February.
In February, okay. So it's not that long ago, but you still remember it as if it was yesterday by the sound of it. So these are memorable moments, really, aren't they? And one of the things I've also sort of reflected as you've been talking is we haven't really talked about how many points or any stat lines or anything like that. No. So it's not necessary when talking about games or when you're remembering games. Peter, it sounded like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, there was a special rule that I knew would be part of this tournament. Because we have done a February 1 the previous year.
Yeah.
And that did flavour how I wanted to approach the tournament and how, you know, I had the beginnings of a story in my head to start with anyway, which is the short story that was read out at the start.
Were you told the special rule before you came to the tournament, or were you told on the day of the tournament?
No. It was part of the tournament pack. So we knew that these cherubs would be appearing and they could potentially cause your troops to go insane.
Well, we never talked about what was weird. We're pinning this on Maison Labs, right? So it doesn't sound like... Was it Maison Labs?
Alien entity. They could be delusions caused by a psychotropic drug. We don't know. Uh-huh. Lucky never made it far enough in to find out the source.
Sounds like there's a little bit more scenario to play out. Fantastic. So let's find out what happened to Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence and his squad. I mean, they've been taken into custody. They're obviously locked away. Are they been taken off planet? Where are they, Peter?
I think they've been locked in a bunker. They're sort of in individual cells, being kept in the dark, as it were. They're probably hearing sounds of combat and explosions outside, but they're not being given any information as yet. I don't think they've been taken off world yet. Still have more to accomplish. I took enough beatings that I could probably say some of the squad have died.
Yeah.
But I reckon Coop's all right.
Coop's?
he's shaking like a leaf, completely detoxing, but he's all right. And obviously fantastic. Lucky.
All right, so let's find out what's happened to Lieutenant Lucky Lawrence and his squad, and then we'll come back to the pod.
All personnel stand clear. All personnel stand clear. All personnel stand clear. All personnel stand clear.
I'm from Dawnstrike. My name is not important, but your fate is. You, Lieutenant, are deserters, and you will join your squad at sunrise for execution. But something tells me it's your lucky day, Lieutenant. One more mission. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Well, that was interesting, Peter. Wow. Maybe you've got more to add here. How's this going to change things for the squad?
I reckon Lucky is a pragmatic kind of a guy. He's had to make some tough decisions in his time and probably make the right one here. He's not going to sign his troops to death. So we'll see.
He'll take up the offer and go on this one-way mission?
I suspect he might. There's at least some chance of survival as opposed to a firing squad or similar.
As a player, will this cause you to make any adjustments to the squad at all? Will you add anything extra to it or will you delete something? What are your thoughts?
I think High Command are probably quite keen to get this information that they need. So they would provide the resources that he needs. He'll probably, or at least give him the opportunity to repair his squad, get his strider back on, get his, you know, his higher ranking troopers back to fitness, etc.
Sounds like they're going to be rearmed, resupplied, at least given a meal before they head off. Yes, it might be a one-way mission, but obviously people want to know. It'll be interesting to see what the next few games are that you're going to play, Peter, and see whether Lucky is Lucky and whether his squad actually somehow manages to come back from all of this. Will you come back on the show at some point in time to tell us what's happening?
Absolutely.
I look forward to it. I had a lot of fun. This has really inspired me to get some GCPS troops on the board.
Thank you for letting me come on and tell Lucky's story and get it out there. And it will continue. I am very invested in Lucky as a character. I really enjoy his story so far. Lucky is definitely a misnomer, but...
Thank you, Peter, and thank you to everybody that's been listening. We'd be interested in your feedback. And, of course, if you're playing Dead Zone or Armada or Kings of War, Ambush, any of the Mantic games, and you've got a story to tell, we'd love to have you on. You've now got a bit of an idea of what the format is. It's not very onerous. We just love talking about our armies and the stories behind them. Hello, you budding story writers out there. It's time to get your pens and your imaginations ready for something really, really special. Mup Jam. No, it's got nothing to do with marmalade or scones. This is where we're going to invite you to write a one-page story set in the Mantic universe of your choosing. Starting with our next episode of Mup Lore, we'll announce a particular theme, and your mission, should you wish to accept it, is to write a short story of at least 500 words, but no more than 1,000, using that particular theme. Of course, your story must be set in the Mantic universe, and it goes without saying that it's got to be original, and it's got to be yours, so no copying of great works or the use of artificial intelligence. Simples. If this tickles your literary fancy, listen to our next Mup Lore podcast of how you can get involved and everything else you need to know. So what are you waiting for? Get your quill ready, charge up your laser pens, and get that inner author in you ready.